Okay, thank you, Carl. My name is Mark. I'm from the University of Alberta in Alberta, Canada. I'm going to ask you guys to switch your thinking. I know a lot of the talks today are agriculturally based. I'm from a reclamation background, so we deal with reclamation of mine sites and oil and gas developments. So still looking at plant nutrients, but just in a much different context. So we're not trying to optimize yield per se. We're more looking to reestablish ecosystem function and proportions of nutrients similar to natural ecosystems. So the disturbance we're looking at is oil sands mining. It's a massive disturbance. Alberta's economy is mainly focused on oil and gas developments, and of these oil and gas developments, non-conventional sources such as oil sands mining are really taking the lead in terms of economic drivers in our province. So this industry is currently around 844 square kilometers, or an American 325 square miles, of boreal landscape that's been affected by this industry, and it continues to rise very rapidly. So as a result of this, the Alberta government mandates that land be returned to an equivalent capability of its pre-disturbance state. So if we look down at these two bars here, the pink and the blue, show various levels of disturbance, so either disturbed or cleared. So it's either being mined currently or it's cleared for mining. And then the top bars represent various stages of reclamation. So basically we start out with a natural boreal forest upland such as this, a spruce aspen community. This is a very typical forest community. We clear the timber and clear the soils, which are then stockpiled for later, and remove the overburden to access the ore, leaving massive open pit mines like this. They're mined, the oil is extracted from the bituminous sand in large extraction plants. Tailing sands fill in the pits, and we return, we recontour the landscape and replace our soils and plant key tree species for reclamation. So this is what an early reclaimed site looks like. This is where I did my research. It's 1 year following reclamation. And we assess these sites early on to hopefully ascertain whether or not we will achieve a functioning boreal landscape in years to come. But we don't have a lot of old reclaimed sites. The oldest one currently is 40 years old, and it still doesn't necessarily look like what it should. So our goals are to achieve a self-sustaining ecological system in compliance with regulatory approvals, doing this with tending to stakeholder requests, and we want to do this as quickly and efficiently as possible. And this is where it all begins. It all begins with soil. So we all know, we're all familiar with the five pedogenic factors. So I'm going to be looking at organisms in hopes to, or with the objective of determining the proximity to a disturbed site that is successfully returning to a natural community. So the soils we have that are available, there's three different principal types. So we have forest floor mix, what I refer to as our upland forest soil. So this has been scraped off the top 20 centimeters, including the organic horizon of upland forest soils. So this is our ideal mixture. And until recently, our government approvals didn't require that we salvage this, but now they do. Now it's kind of a very, very key substrate for growth, but it's very scarce. The other topsoil type that we have is peat mineral mix, or peat mix, which is salvaged from saturated lowlands. It's an organic soil and they excavate it, and we have a lot more quantity of this available for reclamation. So think potting soil. It's essentially a lot of potting soil. And then we have subsoil, which is salvaged from below the zone of pedogenic influence. So because these materials are scarce, my objective is to look at plant available nutrients, microbial community structure and function, with the hopes of using this material very efficiently. So my first research question addresses which topsoil is better in terms of these parameters, and does additional topsoil depth help in achieving anthropogenic soil profiles similar to a reestablishing harvested site? So these are the different sites here: peat mineral or peat mix on the left, and forest floor mix and harvest. My hypotheses were that peat mix would not return similar microbial community structure and function and nutrient availability based on first-hand appearances. So you can see there's not a lot growing here other than what was planted, whereas forest floor mix has a lot more vibrant vegetation growth. And then my second hypothesis is that shallow topsoil applications compared to the deep will provide more similar microbial community structure and function. And these are all compared to a roughly 15-year-old harvested site that is on a trajectory to successful reclamation. So my study site is located at the Aurora North Mine. It's about an hour north of Fort McMurray, which is in northeastern Alberta. This area is categorized by brunosolic soils in the Canadian order, so I think that's inceptive soils in the American soil system. A very sandy, coarse material. And the uplands are interspersed with these saturated lowlands with histosols or organic soils. On this site, there's what's called the Aurora Capping Study. It's a very large-scale experiment, roughly 36 hectares in size. So it's a completely randomized design with 12 treatments in triple replicate. And this is an aerial view of the experiment. I've selected a subset of treatments from this experiment, including a shallow and deep peat mix placement, a shallow and deep forest floor mix placement, a control with no topsoil added to it, and all compared to the harvested brunosol or inceptisol. In the field, my methods were to measure CO2 flux from these sites using an infrared gas analyzer. I logged temperature and moisture across the sampling season in situ, and I collected plant available nutrients with PRS probes or plant root stimulator probes, which are anion and cation exchange resins. I instrumented these items at three different depths, at 5, 15, and 35 centimeters. And I replaced the holes I dug with a perforated bucket to reestablish similar moisture and gas conditions at those different levels. And I took soil samples using a core sampler from those three depth ranges as well, for laboratory use. So I did the microbial analysis in the lab, which consisted of phospholipid fatty acid analysis to get an idea of what microbial community was present, and community level physiological profiles, or CLPP, to determine the function of that community. And then I also measured basal respiration, or heterotrophic respiration, and microbial biomass. So we see in soil respiration, this is an in-situ measurement, that forest floor mix has the greatest overall amount of soil respiration, so the highest metabolic activity, including both heterotrophic and autotrophic respiration, followed by the harvested site and peat mix site. There is no difference attributed to topsoil placement depth for forest floor mix, but there was in the peat mix. And if we break that down a little bit and look at the heterotrophic respiration solely, we can see that the deep peat mix follows a different profile than do all the rest of the soils. So we see in the deeper soils there's greater respiration rates. And this is backed up by microbial biomass carbon, where we see a lot in the peat and less in the forest floor mix or the harvest, which is intuitive because peat mix is a very, it's carbon source for the microbes. So if we look at PLFA, so the community structure of the deep topsoil placements, we see no significant difference between the forest floor mix and the harvested site. So they're very similar, and peat mix is different in ordination space. So this is a way to measure a complex data set with a lot of different variables and see the different abiotic factors that could influence. So here we have volumetric water content is usually associated with peat mix. It generally has a much higher propensity to hold on to water than the others, the other topsoils. So, but we also see a greater correlation with fungal to bacteria ratio and PLFA diversity in the harvested and the forest floor mix sites. And in the subsoil, we see a general stress amongst the microbial population, as indicated by the saturated to monounsaturated phospholipid fatty acids. So that could be substrate stress or nutrient stress as well. Looking at microbial community structure function using CLPP, again we see a similar result, that harvest and the forest floor mix are a similar substrate or a similar material, and peat is very, very different from this. And again, the similar indicators are correlated with those sources. However, in this instance, we see phosphorus and potassium have become more correlated with the harvested site. Now, if we look at the deep place or at the 15 centimeter depth of the community level physiological profiles, so again, the microbial community function, we see no difference between the shallow forest floor mix and the shallow peat mix placements, and they're very similar to the harvested site, whereas the deep create a much different community. So what this says is that deep placements functionally aren't necessarily necessary, which is different from the phospholipid fatty acid results. If we look at the nutrient data, we can see in the nitrogen and the sulfur that peat mix has a disproportionate amount of available inorganic nitrogen and sulfur compared with the forest floor mix and the harvest, whereas the forest floor mix and the harvest have much greater potassium and phosphorus availability. So what this has implications for fertilizer management. This site was not fertilized, but a lot of the reclaimed sites are heavily fertilized, and they have an emphasis on nitrogen in their prescriptions. So this information could lead to different fertilizer prescriptions. So in conclusion, we see the metabolic activity in peat is much higher, so much higher heterotrophic respiration. Over the long term, we could see a reduction in that horizon, in that topsoil horizon, as the organic matter is mineralized. In the forest floor mix, we saw a trend where nutrient CLPP and PLFA profiles were much more similar to the harvested site than was peat mineral mix, or the peat mix. And the plant available nutrients could lead towards more effective fertilizer use. We also saw that deep placements show no added benefit to microbial community function. So in this case, we can use less or more shallow placement depth and spread it across a larger area. And I'd like to thank the following people for all their help and contribution towards my work. With that, any questions?